It's 12:43 a.m. and we are wrapping up this year's Tony Awards.
James Corden was back as the host, and it was a big night for the musical Hadestown and the Irish play The Ferryman. The musicals Tootsie and Oklahoma also picked up multiple awards. I'm Stephen Thompson.
And I'm Linda Holmes. On this episode of Pop Culture Happy Hour, we've got big musical numbers, Bob Mackie gowns, memorable speeches, and some awards, so don't go away.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from HBO, presenting the new comedy series Los Espookies. Executive produced by Lorne Michaels of Saturday Night Live and Fred Armisen, Los Espookies is a primarily Spanish-language series that follows a group of friends who turn their love for horror into a peculiar business, providing horror for those who need it. Starring Julio Torres, Ana Fábrega, and Fred Armisen, catch Los Espookies, premiering Friday, June 14th at 11 p.m. on HBO.
Welcome back to Pop Culture Happy Hour. You just met NPR Music's Stephen Thompson. Also with us is Glenn Weldon of the NPR Arts Desk. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, Linda.
And in our fourth chair today, our friend, our theater go-to guy, Trey Graham. Hi, Trey.
Hey, hey.
You will remember that Trey was with us when we saw some of these shows that we're going to talk about. You can hear that episode in the feed, so we're going to try not to rehash our general opinions about shows, but I do want to talk about some of the major winners. Glenn, I would argue big winner, Hadestown,
yep.
Won 8 awards,
yep.
Was nominated for 14, won 8. In some of those cases, it beat itself.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to me about that.
I think the performance of Hadestown that we saw on this show sold some tickets. And, you know, I got the cast album. After you guys were raving about it, I got the cast album, and it kind of underwhelmed me.
Hmm.
It was one of the few presentations that actually showed the stagecraft with the lights swinging around like that. And that really, really sold me. It made me listen to it in a whole new way because
right.
I can kind of picture it
sure.
in a new way. What sold some tickets also, I think, was Oklahoma, Rodgers and Hammerstein's Oklahoma, that is, particularly the performance of Ali Stroker.
I'm just a fool when lights are low. I can't be perceiving quite. I ain't the type that can fight. How can I be what I ain't? I can't say no.
I also think the performance of The Prom. Now, say what you will about The Prom. It is straight down the middle.
I want to see it.
It is not revolutionizing theater, but it is doing what it does so, so well. And there was such joy in that performance. I think Choir Boy, which isn't a musical, but it's a play with a musical number, and it sold some tickets to the regional theaters that it'll be coming to eventually. I think Ain't Too Proud surprised the hell out of me. The Temptations jukebox musical, I think that kind of transcended the genre. There was so much life and so much energy. There was nothing dutiful about it.
Yeah, Trey, on the play side, winner for best play was The Ferryman.
Which is a terrific play,
yeah.
A complicated play, a sprawling play mm-hmm. about the Irish Troubles and its effect on this sprawling family. Anybody who watched the broadcast would have seen that all of the sprawling cast, probably including the goose, the baby, and the, I don't know, the rabbit that's always hiding
There's
in that guy's
rabbit,
pocket,
yeah.
Were all on stage afterwards. It's a terrific show. Oh, I'm happy for it. I'm only sad that there was not another award to give to What the Constitution Means to Me, which is basically a one-woman show with a couple of very small supporting but very important supporting performances, but that is pushing the form and pushing Broadway in particular into territory that it's frequently afraid to go in.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. I didn't get to see that, but I have certainly talked to a lot of people who felt that way about it.
You may get a chance to see it, as will many of the listeners. It's going to 22 American cities, I believe
Great.
Is the number. Not necessarily with Heidi Schreck
yeah.
in the character that she created based on her own life, but it will tour.
All right.
It is fantastic. I am co-signing you completely.
I'm glad to hear it. Stephen, I know that you're also a big fan of Hadestown.
Yeah.
You sort of knew the Anais Mitchell album. You had seen an earlier incarnation of it. It won for its direction for Rachel Chavkin, in addition to, you know, Anais Mitchell won for score, for that all that music. The show itself, several technical awards. What other than Hadestown stands out to you in this bunch of winners with that kind of as a favorite of yours? What else means something to you here?
Well, for me, the theme of the night was a lot of somewhat expected and satisfying winners. I was delighted to see Rachel Chavkin win for her direction. She gave a terrific speech.
I wish I wasn't the only woman directing a musical on Broadway this season. There are so many women who are ready to go. There are so many artists of color who are ready to go. And we need to see that racial diversity and gender diversity reflected in our critical establishment too. This is not a pipeline issue. It is a failure of imagination by a field whose job is to imagine the way the world could be. So let's do it. Thank you.
Elaine May winning a Tony. She won for lead actress in a play for Waverly Gallery. Her comedy has been such an important part of my life, basically my entire life. So that was a thrill. Even seeing that, like, Bob Mackie won for the costume, for the costumery in the Cher show.
Yeah.
It was a kind of a parade over the course of the night. It was a case of a lot of people I like winning awards I was expecting them to win.
Best revival of a play was The Boys in the Band, which people clearly have really strong feelings about and strong affinity for. I had heard kind of somewhat iffy reviews of it, but, you know, obviously it had a very strong cast, Jim Parsons and Matt Bomer and Zachary Quinto and Rannells and all those guys.
I thought it was nice to see that guy, Mark Crowley, up there on that stage for this particular play, which has gone through, in terms of its reception, so many twists and turns. It was popular when it came out, and then it became kind of something that the gay community kind of rejected as kind of a shunda for the goyim,
basically. It wasn't good for the gays.
Good for the gays. And now we can kind of come back and embrace it again. It's just an interesting play. It's going to be made into a production, a film, with that cast again, that they're going to rejoin kind of do something.
Two notes about that. Yeah. Mark Crowley was able to get up there and make that speech due to a change in the rules. Playwrights don't generally accept the awards for plays. They go to the producers instead.
Yeah.
You know, that's a little unusual. Secondly, this win means that as a producer of the play, Ryan Murphy is now halfway to his EGOT.
Good point. I want to call out a few other winners. Celia Keenan-Bolger won featured actress in a play for To Kill a Mockingbird. That was the Aaron Sorkin adaptation of To Kill a Mockingbird. Bertie Carvel for Ink was a featured actor in a play. Ink is about young Rupert Murdoch. Andre DeShields, I don't think we have mentioned, in Hadestown also.
Who really reinvented that part. I saw Hadestown at the New York Theater Workshop, and it was a very, very different role. So he really brought out a very different energy.
He plays Hermes, the god, the messenger god, who is kind of the narrator of the show. Andre DeShields, of course, a Broadway veteran since way, way back when he played the wizard in The Wiz.
Very classy speech, too.
Surround yourself with people whose eyes light up when they see you coming. Two, slowly is the fastest way to get to where you want to be. And three, the top of one mountain is the bottom of the next, so keep climbing.
Yeah, yes. Wonderful
yes,
speech. We talked a little bit about The Ferryman. We didn't mention Sam Mendes, a director that a lot of people may know from film as well, won for directing that. Also, a couple of lead actors. We haven't talked about Bryan Cranston, who is the same. Yes, indeed. Bryan Cranston, you know from, again, television, who won for Network. Yet another thing based on a movie.
From many years ago.
This is Stevens. Eventually, it's going to be Three Men and a Baby Theory.
That's right.
But we had this year Network and also, as we've already mentioned, Tootsie and Beetlejuice as well.
Neither one of which did themselves any favors in terms of selling tickets
I think that's right. But Tootsie did win for the book of the musical, which, having seen Tootsie, I think is a little weird.
Yeah.
And Santino Fontana, who is an incredibly charming actor, who I'm going to pretend won for something besides this, because I do think he's really wonderful.
For the first few seasons of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
And he won lead actor in a musical for this role in Tootsie, which is still, to me, a pretty undeveloped role for somebody as good as him. We saw a lot of interesting presentations, right? This Oklahoma is smaller and more intimate than some kind of showy musicals are. But they did do kind of a big all singing, all dancing number for the prom.
Mm-hmm. And, which looks so fun.
Yeah. It's so fun. And they also focused almost entirely on dancing in the number from Kiss Me, Kate, which was the,
yes, indeed,
the other nominated revival besides Oklahoma. The number from Kiss Me, Kate, which is Too Darn Hot, which is kind of a famous song. It does have words. It does have a whole song. They had mostly the dancing.
Mm-hmm. Well, the challenge with these award shows is how do you entice the TV audience by showing them something on their box that they want to go see in person.
Right.
And one of the ways you do that is with choreography, although I still think the TV kind of flattens it curiously.
Sure. Yeah. I also thought it was interesting to me that they gave a couple of shows that weren't Best Musical nominations a moment of attention, right? The Cher Show, mm-hmm, they had all of the Chers. Except Real Cher.
Except Real Cher.
They had the three women.
I was
women,
waiting for that reveal.
Yeah, we all were.
They had the three women who play Cher at different points in her life in the Cher Show come out and do what I assume is the finale of the...
It's the finale, yeah.
Yeah, it's the finale of the show where they're singing Believe and the chorus boys are there. And
it's like costumes are there.
Spoiler, it's the finale.
Costumes are there. And I enjoyed that. And then also, Stephen and I very much enjoyed Be More Chill, mm-hmm, which wasn't nominated for Best Musical, but the score was nominated. And the moment that they gave to that, I thought was charming.
Well, I have a theory about the moment that they gave that. They have a bit with James Corden, James in the bathroom, where he is in a bathroom stall singing a lament to the tune of Michael in the Bathroom, which is one of the big central numbers in Be More Chill and one of the really, really big standout songs. My theory, I will bet you $5 that was intended to be the cold open of the show.
Now I'm against the wall in this toilet stall as I scroll through Twitter on my phone. Reading people say Corden's a talentless hack, and why CBS can't get Neil Patrick Harris back. Now I'm just James in the bathroom. James in the bathroom at the Tonys.
And that when Be More Chill, which was expected to be pretty heavily nominated, only got the one nomination, they had to quick punt it into the middle of the telecast and start with a much more misshapen number that they had to kind of slap together. That is my theory.
That's an interesting theory, because my thought about the opening number, and this will sort of transition us into talking a little bit about the James Corden hosting, is the opening number to me looked like it was an under-considered and then ultimately very derivative riff on the Neil Patrick Harris 2013 opening number that people still talk about and love. It was, by the end, choreographed very similarly, very similar feel to it. Quick encounters with the casts of current musicals on the stage when then they sort of shuffle off. People coming down the aisles. It really looked very similar. So it would be interesting to me.
Yeah, the key difference between it and the NPH number is tunelessness. Yeah. Utter tunelessness. There was nothing there. There was just no melody.
Did not care for the song. Yeah. And we should mention, Trey was talking about the playwrights, and they have struggled so much over the years trying to get plays to make
scenes
sense
from the plays.
Used to, right?
There is no good way to present the straight play on the Tony Awards. They still haven't cracked it.
They sure have not. And when they announce that what they're going to do is have the playwrights come out one at a time, kind of give us your elevator pitch on your play, and they bring out the guy from The Ferryman, who proceeds to be like, well, I'm just going to do what I want. I'd like to thank my wife. So a couple of them turned into kind of almost like acceptance speeches.
It was very odd. I got to say, Heidi Schreck, who wrote and starred in What the Constitution Means to Me, hit the sweet spot, because she took probably 20 seconds of her autobiographical monologue from the play and then turned away from that and made the moment personal and in the moment, and it was just beautiful.
Right.
Well, you can tell that it wasn't a format that was working, because Terrell Alvin McCraney, who wrote Choir Boy and also wrote the play that became Moonlight a while ago, is a really compelling guy and a compelling speaker, and it's still, there was such a contrast between he spoke and then they showed the performance of the song that is part of Choir Boy. And that was extremely, all of a sudden it was like, oh, that would make me go see
right,
it.
Right, that sold tickets to a show that sadly has already closed, right. Or should have.
Yeah.
Should
yeah.
have
yeah.
sold.
And you mentioned, Trey, that it's seeing that kind of classroom full of boys with some stuff that was kind of reminiscent of step dancing.
Well, they said in the setup that this is the Black queer show that we need right now, that to tell this story. And yes, the step dancing thing, coming in a year when Beyoncé dropped Homecoming,
right.
It was another nice opportunity to appreciate that culture and for people in that world to see themselves in a show that is frequently extremely pale.
Yeah, okay. And Allie, as Glenn mentioned, Allie Strucker talked about representation. She's the first Tony performer to win who uses a wheelchair. Yep. Rachel Chavkin talked about representation among directors. So obviously, I think that was a theme as well.
Yep.
So yeah, I mean, I think it was an interesting show. And the Tonys, like any award show, maybe even more than any award show, you always do have your little who knew. And mm-hmm. I kind of felt that way. We haven't really talked about Stephanie J. Block, who won Leading Actress in a Musical.
Yes, indeed.
For being one of the Chairs.
Yes, indeed.
The main Chair.
The primary Chair.
The primary Chair.
Chair Prime.
The Chair.
Who would have thought?
Well, Stephanie J. Block isn't just playing Cher. She's a huge favorite, you know, among the people who go to, say, Broadway Con and who go back over and over again to see Wicked on tour or see it again when they're in New York, because she helped create the show Wicked. She created the part of Elphaba, the Green Witch, in the earliest stages of the show's development. And then she sort of got sidelined for Idina Menzel, who was a better known quantity. And she didn't just take it gracefully. She took it gracefully enough to work as Idina Menzel's understudy mm-hmm. in one of the very earliest productions. So it was sort of her time.
Yeah.
You know.
I will be curious to hear if you want to tell us what you think of this year's shows or of the awards. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/PCHH, or tweet us at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. You can follow our friend Trey Graham at Trey Graham. That's Trey with an E and Graham like the cracker. Thanks to all of you for being here and staying late.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And thank you for listening. If you have a second and you're so inclined, do subscribe to our newsletter. It is at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. We will see you all right back here on Friday.
A language was about to die.
Once it gets wiped out, that's it. We will have nothing in our language to pass to our children.
And the people trying to save it were still learning how to speak it.
And we had to hurry up. Time was working against us. We were like 100 years late, you know?
It's Code Switch.
Eola, ko'olohawai.
Listen and subscribe.